Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We continue on as we near the conclusion of our series, Have Faith in God. Today we're going to consider common people and a great God. Our study has covered many fundamental truths about faith. But faith is the fundamental truth of spirituality. The essence of the spiritual life. One of our verses that we have anchored on is Hebrews 10:38. Now the just, born-again people, shall live by faith. Not a request, a command. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God wants us to live by faith. Did you know that your life is seriously affected by your faith in God or lack thereof? If you don't have proper faith in God, you will worry. You will have stress headaches, irritability, sleeplessness, or you will have peace, comfort, and joy. The choice is yours. As I have shared with you, we can help you with certain things if you need a ride to church. We can help you, but we cannot make you have faith in God. You have to do that. You have to determine, okay, now that I am here, however you got there, think right. Think with faith in God. Let me read an anecdote that I found here. There was a lady who for some time kept a list of impending troubles. It was a relief to see them down in black and white. Some months later, in looking over the list, she was surprised to find that 9/10 of these troubles had never materialized. They had an existence only in her imagination. The troubles that never come are the heaviest part of our daily load. The worry and the fear caused by these apprehended miseries often work sad havoc with brain and nerves. The actual sorrows, the bereavements, the disappointments have their comfort and cure. But there's no cure for troubles that never come. Duh. They are haunting ghosts of unsubstantial as mist, yet very real in their depressing and harmful power over us. What might happen? What if? Maybe that's you. The fact is, problems are enhanced by lack of faith. God never wanted us to live in denial. Problems will be real, and they will be heavy at times. But can you find joy in the midst of it? You can if you rest in faith in God. The fact is, God is worthy to be trusted. You can find that from Genesis to Revelation. God said to Jeremiah, "Is there anything too hard for me?" That is a wonderful question. Go ahead. Now you answer it. Is there anything too hard for God? The obvious answer is no. There is nothing too hard for God. So have faith in Him. See, here's what happens. We don't have faith in God because He's not doing things our way. We may not come out and vocalize that, but the truth is, that's what we're saying. I want you to honestly stop and think about this. Do you really want everything your way? Do you really think you have the power to cure life's problems? We don't. God does. We must rest in facts. Facts are God is to be trusted because He is worthy to be trusted. But how many times do we lean to our own understanding, worse yet, feelings or emotions? Can we please imagine a court scene? Days of attorneys presenting their case, questioning witnesses, evidence brought forth, and then the jury deliberates. After hours of deliberation, they come out with this. Well, all of the evidence says he's innocent, but we just feel he's guilty. How would you like to be the victim of that? That's what we do when we don't have faith in God. Well, I know the Bible says this, this, and this, but I just feel that God's not handling it right. Really? Okay. What do the facts tell us? I have shared this many times, but it is fundamental. Faith is fundamental. This truth is fundamental. Creation is the most incredibly powerful tool to show us that God is trustworthy. If He can create this, can He take care of you? Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from creation, creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And that even includes the eternal power and Godhead. It is so compelling, they are without excuse. Creation screams at us that God is all-powerful and to be trusted. Do you want proof that you should stop worrying when you walk out? Just look. Just look. Do you think that there was a craftsman that made this pulpit? Yes, because anything that's made testifies of its maker. This tells me whoever put this together knew what they were doing with wood. You look at this world and the complexity therein, it tells me there is a God Almighty out there, and you can know Him personally. Therefore, Christian, let us live by faith with confidence in God. We have already considered Hebrews chapter 11. I am going to touch upon this again today from a little different aspect. There we have a series of common people that were used mightily by God because they stepped out in faith and God showed His hand mighty as He worked through them. The just shall live by faith. And we have already heard the testimony of these people, if you will. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, and more, Hebrews 11:32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me. The author of Hebrews is saying, I don't even have the time. It would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, the prophets, and it goes on. These people have all come up to testify, God is trustworthy. Have faith in Him. And therefore, forget the chapter verse divisions, flow into chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, based upon this incredible amount of people that have just been presented, and they have told us and showed us by their lives that God is trustworthy, therefore, you, would you realize you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, if you will, a court scene, God's trustworthiness is on trial, let us lay aside every weight. That's you. Over the last few weeks, we have studied these great saints of old. Now, based upon what they told you, would you please lay aside every weight? Would you check your worries at the door? And the sin which does so easily beset us, and would you please run with patience the race that is set before us? This is God's plan. He wants us to stop worrying and start to have faith in Him in our daily living. The truth is, we are common people. Well, those people of old, it was different. Well, it may be different by time and technology, but the truth is, people are people. And God wants us to learn from these common people. They were people like us. And they had faith in God. Do you feel weak? Do you feel inadequate? Good. You're ripe for God to use you. How do you like that one? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things. Is that you and me? If you think you're great, you don't qualify. Do you feel like, dear God, who am I? You're on the right path. The truth is, in your flesh, you're nothing, but with Almighty God, you're everything. He has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things, low in value, humble things of the world, and the things that are despised hath God chosen, and I love this, and things which are not, they don't even exist, to bring to naught things that are. God says, I use things that don't exist. I use things that don't exist. I use fish and loaves that don't exist to feed 5,000 people. Don't limit God. But dear God, my car needs repaired, and my checkbook only has this in it. And God says, stop limiting me. I use the things that don't exist. I love that verse. It shuts down every argument we have. I don't need anything, God says. And the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Here it is, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. These people that testified to us in Hebrews chapter 11 are not saying, look how great I am. No, they're all saying, look what God did. I yielded, I was obedient, and I did what He asked me to do, and look at what God did. All we can do is pass baskets. God is responsible for multiplication and blessing and the results. We're responsible to obey by faith. Common people. I want us to get a little bit of a reminder of some common people that were mentioned in Hebrews 11 because they had faults. Do you ever do this to yourself? But I have sinned so badly, God can't. Really? You haven't studied the Old Testament saints. There are some pretty miserable people that God used and forgave. How much worse can you get than David with murder and adultery? How about Genesis chapter 12? If you were to read that, there is where God Almighty presents to Abraham that I'm going to make a mighty people through you. And the nations will be blessed. And those who bless you, I'll bless. And those that curse you, I will curse. That's Genesis chapter 12, 1 and 2. This incredible promise. And so Abraham, by faith, goes. And he gets to this promised land. And look at chapter 12, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. You were told to go to a promised land. And what did he do when hard times came? Well, I can't stay here. This place that God led me to is wrong. I have to go find water. I have to go find food. Didn't take him long. How many times God wants us to do something and it gets a little hard and we quit? How about Moses? He was presented with a burning bush up on the mountain, and there he went up, and God spoke to him, and God called him. Moses, I want you to go lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. 400 plus years of bondage, you're the man. And Moses' response, Exodus 3:11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I shall bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he protested several times. Great man of God. God finally had to say, fine, I'll send Aaron with you. How about David? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons, and there David was appointed and anointed to be the next king after Saul. But the going got tough because King Saul was trying to kill David. Here he has literally experienced the prophet Samuel pouring oil over his head, and in the presence of his family, you are the next king of Israel. And he says this in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. David said in his heart, his thinking is wrong. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. He was worried. He lost faith in God. Did you know that when Samuel poured that oil over his head and the promise of God on David to be the next king implied he would be alive to do it? And he said, no, dear God, you have allowed this man to pursue me and one day I'm going to die. I have forgotten your promise and your calling. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Let me quote Charles Spurgeon. The thought of David's heart at this time was a false thought, because he certainly had no ground for thinking that God's anointing him by Samuel was intended to be left as an empty, unmeaning act. On no one occasion had the Lord deserted his servant. He had been placed in perilous positions very often, but not one instance had occurred in which divine interposition had not delivered him. The trials to which he had been exposed had been varied. They had not assumed only one form, but many, yet in every case, he who sent the trial had also graciously ordained a way of escape. David could not put his finger upon any entry in his diary and say, here it is, here's the evidence that the Lord will forsake me. For the entire tenor of his past life proved the very reverse. He should have argued from what God had done for him that God would be his defender still. But it is not just the same way that we doubt God's help. Is it not mistrust without a cause? Have we ever had the shadow of a reason to doubt our Father's goodness? Have not his loving kindnesses been marvelous? Has he once failed to justify our trust? No! Our God has left us not at any time. We have had dark nights, but the star of love has shone forth amidst the blackness. We have been in stern conflicts, but over our head he hath held aloft the shield of our defense. We have gone through many trials, but never to our detriment, always to our advantage. And the conclusion from our past experience is that he who has been with us in six troubles will not forsake us in the seventh. What we have known of our faithful God proves that he will keep us to the end. Let us not then reason contrary to evidence. How can we ever be so ungenerous as to doubt our God? End quote. Hence we see Abraham, Moses, and David were common people. And yet they're included in Hebrews 11 as great men of faith. Aren't you glad God's merciful? I want us to consider 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Do you feel weak? Do you feel inadequate? Listen to what Paul wrote. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. See, our tendency is not to take pleasure in these things. Our tendency is, Lord, take it away, and then I'll be at peace. And God says, no, I want you to be at peace with all of these problems. We get it backwards. Are you weak? Then you're strong. I want to consider one other Old Testament saint very briefly as we think about a common man that God used mightily, and that's Gideon. Take a look again at Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. This man is listed as one of the mighty men of faith. He was called to deliver the children of Israel from Midian bondage. Judges 6:1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. That bondage was incredibly oppressive. Judges chapter 6, verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. There's many things that we could glean from this story of Gideon, and obviously I'm not going to cover that now. I want us to get some key points, though, of the incredible problem that the children of Israel had, and God is going to use this man Gideon to deliver them from these trials. The trials were very real, and he is going to call a man who is very, very, if you will, biblically speaking, weak. God has allowed the Midianites to prevail over Israel, but the time has come. God has said, now, I am going to pick one man, and he's going to lead the impoverished children of Israel out from this incredible oppression. Verse 11, Judges chapter 6. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was by Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. He is working in fear, hiding what he is doing. The Midianites were miserable people to be in bondage to. And look at the way the angel addresses Gideon in verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Personally, I picture Gideon hiding. And the angel says, you're a mighty man of valor. And I wonder what Gideon said. Are you kidding me? I am oppressed for the last 7 years along with my people. And you come and address me as this mighty man of valor. Are you living in the same world I am? I have to wonder what his immediate reaction was. What do you mean? But we do have an insight here. Look what Gideon responds with in verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Do you never ask that? If God is with me, then why do I have this problem? Stop asking that. Look to God in strength. Many times our problems come and we will not know why. Is he punishing me? Is he teaching me? Is he leading me? Is he helping me to be an example of another? I don't know. Just look to God. You'll go nuts trying to figure it out many times. Ask God to show you to do what's right. Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is all this then befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord's forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Does that sound like a mighty man of valor? God remembers our frame, we're made of dust. I love this answer of the angel. Verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. And Gideon said, what might? What was his might? His might was, I know what God did for my ancestors. He delivered them from incredible trials and tribulations. And he knew what God could do. And oh, if only God would show his hand mighty. And God says, that's it. Look to me. You can't do it. I can't do it. God can do it. That is our strength. Go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Here it is. Have not I sent thee? You're not going on your own. Gideon, you can't do anything, but with me we can drive those Midianites out of here. Because God chooses the weak things, the base things that no flesh should glory. I didn't do it. God did it. Verse 16, Judges 6, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So it is. Gideon went through this calling. And what did he do? Now, Lord, I'm going to put a fleece out. Most of you know the story. Why didn't he take God at his word? God was developing his faith. And God was faithful and showed the do and the not the do on the fleece. And then a time came, Gideon called for the men of Israel to come to fight against the Midianites, and 32,000 came. And God says, you got too many. You're kidding me. Nope. Tell everybody who wants to go home to go home. And 22,000 left. And he said, oh Lord. And God said, you still have too many. Are you kidding me? I didn't have enough with 32,000. I'm down to 10,000. And they had, of course, go down to the water, and those that lap like a dog, they're the ones that shall go by their hand. And 300 were left. And he said, with these 300, you're going to win this battle. You see, God wants us weak so that we don't take the credit. He wants us to go in faith. Therefore, when we are weak, we're strong. Dear God, I can't do this, but you can, and I'm going in that strength. The whole key is, are we doing what God wants us to do? Judges chapter 7, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his place. Verse 9 of Judges 7, and it came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, and underline it, I have delivered, past tense. It's done. It's done. It's as good as finished. Is this not what God said to Joshua? I have delivered Jericho into your hands. It doesn't say I will. I already did it. I already defeated the Midianites. I have delivered, past tense, into thy hand. Folks, this is what we have to realize. God calls, we are to obey, go in faith, do what God wants us to do. Sometimes it's out of our comfort zone, sometimes it's in our comfort zone. The point is, it's do what God wants us to do. You step out on faith, trusting Him, realizing our weaknesses, and watch God bless. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that hath called you, who also will do it. It's not me, it's not you, it's God. And God calls us to do, and what can we do? We can pass baskets, but only God Almighty can keep the fish and the loaves flowing. This little church right here can only do so much. But we are to be found faithful to do what He has called us to do, and He is the one that multiplies greatly. I marvel what comes out of that little kitchen. And if you were here at the Thanksgiving dinner, you would marvel too. What about us today? But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Oh Lord, who am I? You're no one, but in my hand you're everything. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things, and things which are despised. God hath chosen. Why, that no flesh should glory. Look what I did. Brace yourself. You're on a collision course, because pride comes before the fall. As I shared with you, every message that we do that has ever been preached can one way or another be linked to faith in God. Whether it is a salvation message, whether it is a Christian growth message, whether it is a message on prophecy, no matter what you're going to study, it could somehow relevantly relate to faith in Him. But there does come a point we're going to have to stop. As far as a formal study, my goal is next week. It's important that we do study the fundamental truth of have faith in God. Did you know that when you fail to live by faith, you miss an opportunity for God to show Himself mighty? Therefore, it is so important that we seize the opportunities before us. A minister tells how in his first church, a banker occasionally came to his church, and every time he came, the minister happened to be preaching on faith. The banker said to him, "Why don't you preach on something other than faith? Why don't you preach on something practical?" A few days later, there was a run on his bank, and the minister went down to see what was going on. He found the people demanding their money. They were alarmed and suspicious, and the banker was going up and down the line saying to these people, "Everything's all right. There is nothing wrong with the bank." The minister touched him on the shoulder and said, "What's the matter?" "Why," he said, "there's nothing wrong, but these people have lost faith in the bank." The minister replied, "Do you remember when you told me to preach on something more practical than faith?" "Oh, yes," he said, "I remember it well, and I take it all back. There is nothing so fundamental and important than faith in God." There's nothing wrong. Did God lose control of this universe? The sun still rises and sets. The stars are in place. The stars are so accurate, NASA can project how to put a spacecraft on the surface of Mars. I forget how many years. Was it five years it took to get there? And they knew exactly where that thing would land, because God's creation is exact. When the birds start to worry, folks, then you can worry. But until then, have faith in God. It begins with salvation, and it is to extend into the Christian life. Have faith in God. We are not saved by our good works. We are not to live by our own strength. We are saved when we realize there is nothing to do. There is nothing that we can do to pay the sin debt that is so great. And if we die with that sin debt on us, we will spend eternity separated from God. And so it is. God sent His Son, and He paid our sin debt, and we realize, dear God, it's not me. I cannot work my way to heaven. It's what Jesus did. 2,000 years ago on the cross, your Son, the perfect one, hung there, shed His blood, and gave His life. He paid my sin debt. He paid yours and yours and yours and yours and mine and everyone else's. Make it personal. He paid my sin debt. And I am putting my faith in His work of redemption, His broken body and shed blood. That alone. Not good works and Jesus. Jesus alone. And the moment we do that, God knows our thoughts. We have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever in the Greek means whosoever. Not only the elect. Every man has a free will choice to trust in Jesus Christ or to reject. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How long's everlasting? Everlasting. How can you lose it? By definition, you can't lose it. He didn't give you temporary probation till you sinned again. He said, "I give you eternal life." Because once you are born again, you're born again. End of subject. And once you then have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Christian walk, day by day, through the ugly here and now, God wants us to live by faith, because He has purpose, He has plan, and you are not an accident where He puts you in time and space. He has a plan for you, and He wants to fulfill it through you, in you, with you, if you will only trust and obey.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.